You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
The whole idea of what we've been talking about the last few weeks, I'm kind of taking it in a different direction than what we were looking to go. But the first 2 weeks has been about us having margin to allow God to work, you know? And the reason why we have a difficult time having margin is because of all the clutter. You guys know what I'm talking about. There's all this clutter, all this stuff that just kind of comes into our lives. And Ashton spoke so well last week about the busyness of life and how it distracts us and takes us away from what God has for us. Let me give you a working definition, once again, of what this idea of margin is. Margin is the amount available beyond what is necessary. And for the sake of today, I'm talking more about our time. The amount of time available beyond what is necessary. That's what we're looking at today. The idea of us having margin for us to experience God like we've never experienced Him before. And not only us experiencing God, but us allowing God to use us or work through us so that other people can experience God as well. So what I'm talking about today specifically in the way of margin is this idea of showing up. The idea of showing up and what that means and what God can do through those of us if we're willing to show up. What God can do through us showing up. Here, I'm going back to this idea. Well, let me just pause for a second and thank the church for being so generous to Beth and the kids and myself with this idea of this sabbatical. The idea of this sabbatical is for me to have some time to show up, maybe not here physically, but time with the Lord, you know, so I can experience God in a way that would help me eventually to lead others to more profound experiences with God. The truth is if we're not showing up, there's no experience. You guys understand what I'm saying here today, right? And I don't know about y'all, but man, experience is really important. Why is experience important, Ryan? I'll ask myself. Experience is important because if we don't have an experience with God, how in the world are we ever going to move forward in our faith? I believe faith, experience is essential for our faith and for our spiritual growth and for our for the dynamic of us growing in closer relationship with God. There needs to be experience, and experience is being thwarted and pushed out because we have no margin because we're so busy. We are people that are incredibly busy. God help us. And so today is just and like I said, first service, I'll say it to y'all, man. Look, these messages, I'm writing a message to myself. And what I'm finding is when I write it without you in mind, I'm writing it with me in mind. I'm preaching to myself. The odds are it's going to speak to some other folks, Lord willing. I'm just trusting God in this, right? But these are not designed to be preaching at people. This is, if anything, preaching to me. And some of y'all say, right on, Ryan, you need to hear this message. You know, I know you need to hear this message, right? So with all that said, man, guys, I really feel, you know, Beth nails me on this, you know. Beth nails me on this idea of being present, you know, being present. Chris talked me into an iWatch, folks. I have it on right now. It's on airplane mode. And sometimes I forget to put it on airplane mode when I'm sitting at the dinner table and a text comes in. And that is not healthy for my marriage. I just want you to know that. Chris has played it. I'm just playing. But Beth will say to me, be present. Be present. Look, today, this idea of showing up, this idea of building margin, is this idea of us being present. Are you present here right now? Are you? Thank God, man. You know, be present right now. Be present. Present. Allow the Spirit of the Lord to speak to you, not me. Allow the Lord to speak to us. What does the Lord want us to receive here this morning? This idea, you guys have shown up. Praise God. You are here this morning. And I just pray that you take full advantage of that, which means this is use your phone for scripture. Use your phone, you know, to take notes. That's cool. But don't allow the distractions to move you or take you away from what God wants you to experience in the here and the now. Man, we have just busied our life. We've busied all the margin out of our life, man. And it's difficult. Look, it's hard to show up without margin. Without margin, we would never be able to show up like this little girl in this clip showed up. Showing up at a park and painting nails. How practical is that? It's a beautiful thing. So we see it all the time, folks. We are so busy and lost or distracted with all the clutter of our culture that we do not have space. We don't have space. You know, one of the initiatives that we talk about here that supports our vision is creating more space and opportunity for life change. And initially, that space, we're thinking physical space, which we're doing things here in the church by this youth room that's going down, and Lord willing, the atrium area, you know, creating more space, you know, throughout the year for people to meet in groups and small groups and that kind of thing. But this space that I'm talking about now is not just space in the physical sense, but it's space in terms of time, creating space for God to move and to work in and through you. When you do that, you have faith-based experiences that enrich your life and allow you to experience life and life more abundance. You know, that's the truth. The truth is that all of us, we get excited about abundance. Oh, man, we're all up into that. We like quoting that verse, you know, that Jesus came not just to give us eternal life, but to give us what? Life, and life more abundant, right? Thinking, you know, in terms of money and finances and car. And go, man, the truth is this, is that word abundance is so much more than wealth. It's to enrich us to live a fuller life where we can have more experiences that draw other people into this community of faith. And allowing them to experience freedom and recovery and this idea of a new sense of life. God, help us. Help us all to have margin. Margin that would enable us to show up and enrich our experiences so that our experiences are not minimized and limited. If I was going to say, well, what's the problem today? What's our challenge? This is what I would say. Our challenge right now is that we've crowded God out. Our challenge right now is that we have not, or we're not having the kind of experiences that maximize a limitless life of faith, allowing God to move and work where we see it and we witness it and we see God move in ways that are beyond comprehension. The scripture speaks directly to this idea of showing up and showing up consistently. The scripture speaks directly to us in Hebrews 10, 21 through 25. And as we open this, I just want to give you kind of a heads up and actually even a word of apology, because I was headed down the same road this morning till the Lord checked me up and helped me to get a better grip on what this scripture is essentially saying. I grew up at times, and I've heard it preached at times, to where it was basically used or, you know, not right in the sense, in the truest sense. And I'll share that with you in a second. You'll see it. But look at Hebrews 10, 21 through 25. Here's what it says. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him, for our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Right on. This is an experience that this is talking about. And in order to have this experience, we must go in. Look at verse 22. Let us go right into the what? Presence of God. Okay? This is essential to our faith, folks. It is essential for us, in order to grow in His grace, in order to grow in this spiritual journey, in order to understand the true meaning of life, right? It is essential for us to experience His presence. And all the people said, right on, right? Just trying to help myself out here. Just getting a little lonely up here. Lord, help me. You know? I know we're in deep thought. I think we are. Anyways. But here's the truth. The truth. Man, God wants you to be present. He wants you to show up in a way where He can help you. Where He can move and give you the truth you need to set you free. Amen. Man, honestly, man, when you get into the presence of God, man, with a sincere heart, it becomes easier to fully trust Him. The truth is one of the reasons why we have no margin in our life is because we don't fully trust God. It's like this perpetual kind of thing that goes on. You know, we're not trusting God. Therefore, you know, it leads us to trust Him even less, right? And I just want to say, if you can reverse that, right, and you begin to step into His presence, you be able to build margin, and you begin to show up just as the Scripture is implying here. God will then enable you to allow Him to trust, or allow you to trust Him more. And then here's what happens. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean. And our bodies have been washed with pure water. Folks, this is talking about an experience with God. God help us. You know, we kind of get away from that. And I think at times we've not emphasized it enough. That it is essential to your faith that you have an experience. I know, without any doubt, when I first received Jesus into my heart and life, it was an experience and a process. I get that. Some of our process people out there, you know, that's this is a long debate between the two. But the truth is, in order to move forward in the process, God sets up experiences that strengthen us and move us forward. I know when I was saved at 4 years old, I believe that. I fell many times, you know. I've fallen short many times, right? But then I got out of college, and I remember the experience that I had when God, what we call sanctified me, or at least helped me, you know, brought me to this place with Him that I've never, you know, a closer place with Him. He revealed things that needed shifted and changed. And God all along the way has brought me to different experiences with Him to draw me in, to show me new things, to help me in my journey. And I think the reason you guys are giving me another sabbatical, or giving me a sabbatical, I've never had one before. This is all new to me. But the truth is I confess to you, there's something I need. And I think there's something that you need. I think that we need margin built in so that we can show up and see God move in and through us. And here's something I would say to us. Don't underestimate the power of experience, number one. Even today, for me, I need, like I mentioned, I need experiences. But here's the second piece to this. You cannot effectively lead others into experiences if you are not being led there. Hopefully, you know, this thing for, hopefully, what we get out of this is that we will begin to experience at a deeper and more profound level that then we'll be able to share it with other folks. I know this is that some would say, I just want my son, little Johnny, to come to know Jesus. And I would ask you this. I would say, well, what kind of experiences are you having to lead little Johnny there? I remember when I would come home from school, and I would get off the school bus, and I'd walk down my driveway, and 371 March Pollen Road in Carlisle, Ohio, little ranch house, I'd open up the door, and I'd hear my mom in the back bedroom. and she'd be calling out all of our names, right? And she'd be pleading the blood of Jesus over us, you know, just really praying, right? Praying over us vocally out loud. At first, I thought something was up. I walked down the hall and you know, because she would have these experiences with God that would bring her to a point where you could feel the presence of God outside of that room. And not only that, man, but you didn't want to act up after that, you know what I mean? Because there was something going on, you know? And all I knew is she was bringing my name up before God, praying for me. And man, I can look back to that even today. My mom was having an experience, ultimately, I believe, that played a part in my ability to have experience. She was showing up. And that drew me to a place where I want to show up. I want the same thing for my kids. In this verse 25, this last part of this verse is essential. And I think this is where the church and pastors have gotten it wrong. And they've used it against people. But here's what it says. And let us not neglect our meeting together. You know, and what I mean by that is pastor, or at least I've heard it preached many times, this idea. In the King James, it talks about forsaking the assembly, okay? Forsaking the assembly. That's why you should be at church every Sunday. Don't forsake the assembly, right? Guys, there's so much more to this than that. Here's what this is about. Let us not neglect our meeting together. Let us not neglect experiencing community as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Folks, here's the truth. The truth is God wants you not to experience church as we know it. God wants you to experience community. He wants you to experience the coming together so that you can bring to that community what you've been experiencing all week long, giving that community something, sharing with that community something that they need. Some would say, well, Ryan, bless God, I just want you to feed us. Or I want whoever's speaking on Sunday morning. They just need to bring something to give us what we need for the rest of the week. Praise God. Right? That's not what the writer of the Hebrews had in mind. That's not what Jesus had in mind. That's not what the early church did, folks. That's not it. And I don't mean to sound too disrespectful or too, you know, I don't mean to offend any of the sanctimonious that are here this morning. Not that there probably are any, but the truth is this, is that the church was not meant for there to be rows and aisles. When you read the early church, it was supposed to be more like a circle. Not a situation where you've got, you know, a minister giving everyone what they need. Come forward and I'll bring you forth the cup or whatever. Man, here's what it was about. Look, the scripture says that we're all called to the royal priesthood. What's that mean? It means that we're all called to show up. Because the truth is that I'm just a man, or whoever's up here is just a man, and we got the same struggle as everybody else does, and there's only a limit. Hopefully this morning God's grace helps us here, you know, beyond what I'm able to do. He compensates. I pray that happens, right? But the truth is that your word or your experience, if you're showing up with the Lord every week, is just as profound as what any minister with special papers can bring forth. Now, I'm just going to communicate my way out of a job here. It's the truth, man. You know, the truth is this, is I believe this. Chris and I have had many talks, and even with Ashton and Brian, and everyone else. We believe that the Lord has called us to be co-vocational for a reason. And that reason is it puts limitations on what our ability is to minister. Jay as well. Some would say, why in the world would God want to put limitations on your ability to minister? Here's why. Because God's plan was for it to be all of us ministering. All of us showing up. All of us, you know, being nourished through the week through our own time. Nourished through the week. See, we're a bunch of malnourished. The Christian church in America is malnourished, right? We are lacking in spiritual nutrition because we do not feed ourselves every day, right? We come in on Sunday at the Golden Corral buffet, right? And we expect there to be everything on there that we want and need, right? That's not what God had in mind. God had in mind for this thing to be lean and mean, where we're through the week we're eating, and through the week we are taking in, and through the week we are ministering, allowing God to minister through our own experiences. And then we come in together, and we come in together, we begin to share with other people, and things begin to happen, and things begin to move. Look, it's an incredible opportunity. It's an incredible thing if, in fact, we all would do it, including me. I was thinking about this today, or this week. I was thinking about this idea of showing up, this idea of our Sunday experience and why it's necessary. And the argument here is Sunday's designed to minister to the churched, or is it designed to empower the church to move out and bring new folks in? Right? We got this 4th of July thing coming down. 4th of July, this place is going to be filled up with unchurched, out-of-church people. This parking lot. We open up these bathrooms, and we open up, and we've got grills and things going on. The church is serving water. We'll do whatever we're doing. We'll have hundreds of people on the slot watching these Delco fireworks. And why are we doing that? We're doing that because we have a vision, right, for hurting, dying, empty, lost people. We have a vision to see people come in and experience this life change that we talk about. And I believe it's, you know, when we have that in mind, man, we come here to give, we come here to share, we come here. God inevitably always does something. He always shows up. When we come together, God shows up. When we show up, God shows up. He says this, that the Lord inhabits the praise of his people. So when you come in and you're lifting your voice up and singing songs and you're doing things in the form of worship, it says that God inhabits. What's inhabit mean? It means that he lives, he dwells within the praise of his people. God shows up, folks. God is omnipresent. Do you know that? He's not limited by space and time. That's how you can have thousands of churches all over the country that are meeting at the same time, but yet everyone has an opportunity to experience God, right? And his spirit. You know, it says this, where two or three, Jesus says, where two or three are gathered, there I will be also. The truth is that Jesus shows up if we show up. God wants you this morning to show up, not just here on Sundays. God wants you to show up. He wants you to show up through the week. He wants you to build margin in your life where you can experience him in a deeper, more in a profound, intimate way, where you have experiences to share. And your experience means something to someone else. You know that, right? Your experience. Don't minimize your experience. God wants you to share your experience. That experience and you sharing it edifies the church and edifies the community. I have a, you know, just this thought, and I'll wrap up here as fast as I can. But can you imagine 300 to 400 people? We have 300 to 400 people that call Shelter their church home. And out of the 300 to 400 people, and it's a rotation, you know, everyone is in, you know, it's just the way things work in today's culture, you know, the way things work. But 300 to 400 people that call the Shelter their church home. And we have about 800 to 900 people that are within our sphere that would show up. And those that have shown up or maybe show up again. But it's folks that are, we mail things to or email things to, or that are part of somehow connected indirectly or directly. On a weekly basis, with all of our expressions, meaning our OTM, our Gamer Church, as well as the Recovery Church that Don Fricke leads. Praise God for Don and Jay Stott, who leads OTM, and their group. They have groups that help them, the core groups that help them lead. Now, listen, pay attention, please. Look, out of 250 to 280, 5% of that number, which would be about 13, we had 13 baptisms last, month here. Pulled this hot tub out, boom. And there we saw 13 people. Guys, I'm telling you, I want to just say this to you. Numbers mean things. There's power in numbers, right? Now, our commitment to the church and our commitment, our vision going forward is to grow what? Grow what? Help me out here. Grow small in a really what? Big way, right? That's our vision for what God wants to do here, right? Growing small in a really big way, right? I'm telling you this. If everyone showed up and everyone was sharing their experiences and God was leading you and moving you and things would begin to happen. I'm telling you, things would begin to happen. And what we would see would be not just 13 testimonies. We would see tens of 20s of 30s of 40s, 50 baptisms. You know what I mean? I'm just telling you, when things like that begin to happen, it just begins to move and God begins to move and God begins to work. And all that can happen if we show up. If we show up through the week with our own personal devotion, our own personal spiritual journeys in life, we have these experiences and we show up on Sunday. I'm just saying, I believe this. God wants us. He wants us to have more profound experience. In closing, and I'm gone for 3 months, so I'm just kind of assuming that you're going to yield to me a little bit more time this morning. Taking full advantage of this morning's hour, minutes. Travis is giving me thumbs up, so it's okay. Let me just share this, and I'm almost done. Acts 9, 10 through 19. Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he replied. Guys, Ananias had margin, and in that margin, he was showing up, right? And God spoke to him, and he was in a place in his life where, having that margin built in, he could hear God. And he replied, "Yes, Lord." Verse 11, the Lord said, "I want you to go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas. And when you get there, ask for a man named Tarsus, named Saul. He is praying to me right now, Ananias. And I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so that he can see again." Folks, this kind of stuff doesn't happen without you showing up. Some would say, "Ryan, when you see this story, Ananias showing up, and God, you know, here's what we know. What we know is that when we begin to show up, we begin to experience God, and we have that margin built in. Here's what happens. We begin to see God work in unexplainable ways. Miraculous. Someone say, "Well, I haven't ever seen God do a miracle." Well, you know what? Have you been showing up? Because when you show up, God will show you his power. And he will show you this stuff is not just for way back then. It's for the here and now. God, if we begin to show up and we begin to experience the power of God's Holy Spirit in our lives working through us, we will begin to see God move in ways that we've never experienced before. Amen. 13, "But Lord," explained Ananias, "I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem." This was Paul he's talking about, right? Paul had just had his experience with God on the road to Damascus. Jesus showed up for Paul, right? And there Paul received the Lord. And Paul was vile and wicked and mean. And Jesus showed up and changed his life. Here's the truth. The only reason you and I have an opportunity to show up is because Jesus first showed up. Jesus showed up and made a way for us to show up. And so here you have it, Ananias. But Lord, God, go. The Lord said, Ananias, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to the kings, as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my namesake. Verse 17. So Ananias went and found Saul, who later became Paul. He laid hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road has sent me so that you might regain your sight and you might be filled with the Holy Spirit. Guys, this is one of the most impactful movements of God's Spirit and most important things that happen in the scripture, because what happened here, Ananias doing this for Paul literally changed the course of the New Testament. Half of the New Testament, over half the New Testament was written by Paul. And so, verse 18, instantly something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he regained his sight. Then he got up, was baptized. Scales fell from his eyes. He regained his sight. They moved out the hot tub, and then boom, there he was baptized. And afterward, he ate some food and regained his strength, and boom, there it was. Paul had a crazy experience with the Lord. So there you have it. Ananias had margin. He created space for God to move and work. And when he showed up, beautiful things happened. And actually, his ministry to Paul, I mean, it was impactful even to today. Guys, some of us would say, well, how in the world, what are some ways in which I can show up? I was talking to several of you this morning who went to church camp with these kids. Man, thank you for showing up. You saw these kids. We have not seen it yet, but who went forward at the end of church camp and prayed, right? Accepted Jesus. We saw. My kids came back with stories from camp of how God moved in their lives because someone showed up. Saul, you can adopt. You can foster. We're adopting and fostering right now. We've adopted and we're fostering. And I can tell you that there's more joy in it. You know, the reward goes, as far as I'm concerned, more towards those of us that are doing it. I'm just saying that's a way that you can show up. It's a beautiful thing to see God move and work. You can show up for someone at work. You can spend unexpected time with kids. You can attend a small group. You can go to a conference. You can go to a ladies retreat. Come to Monday night ladies group when it kicks back up in the fall. You can get involved in a life group. Come out to OTM and see what Jay and his core group are doing through ministering to people who probably wouldn't come on a Sunday morning, but they'll go meet with him and he is able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. Well, what about this? What about what Don is doing with Tuesday Night Recovery Church? 48 people here. He kicked us out, kicked the staff out of our meeting room over here because he needed that space. Praise God. He needed that, right? We want more of that. Don Fricke, you're showing up, and you show up for many, many, many in need of a sponsor. I can't take my hat off to you enough. Who are you discipling? Who are you discipling? Some say, well, Ryan, I don't know what discipling is. I don't know how to do it. But you know what? If you are walking with the Lord and you're spending time with him, all you have to do is share that experience with other people, and that's discipling. It's that simple. Some of us make excuses because we don't want to show up. We don't think we don't have the time. We make excuses because we don't think that we're, you know, well, I just can't preach a sermon or I can't lead a devotional or whatever. No, it's not about that. It's about sharing your experience with someone else. Call two or three people that don't know Jesus and meet at Tim Hortons and open up your Bible and read through the gospel and share with them what God is doing in you through it. That is discipling. And any one of you can do that. Folks, when you begin to show up, stuff happens. It happens. Lord, help us. You know what? I've got a prayer, and I'm going to close with this. Here's my prayer. If you would, you can stay seated. It's fine. Some of us say, Ryan, I'm okay to show up, or I'm willing to give up space and time. I'm willing to create more margin so that I can show up. And maybe you this morning, maybe you know deep down that you've not shown up like the Holy Spirit wants you to. And I'm not, this is not a convicting, you know, I'm not trying to make this a guilt-ridden message. What I'm trying to do is open up to you that there is a spiritual realm. And when you begin to show up and you begin to attach yourself, tap into that spiritual realm. Through that spiritual realm, God begins to give you grace, and he begins to give you peace, and he begins to give you purpose, and he begins to give you hope, and he begins to give you what you need, not only for you to understand the physical realm, which, by the way, is dying, but you begin to tap into that, and you begin to have the peace and the hope and the purpose that God wants you to have to make a difference in this world. And I think because there's no margin, we are all guilty of missing it. Is that fair? God help us. Lord, help us this morning. Just bow your heads with me here. And I went long, and I hope this morning you just have enough margin and to yield me this time, because I don't like going over very long, and I want to be sensitive to the children's people and to you. I know you got places to be, but God, in this moment and in this time, in this space that we've created here, God, I pray that you would move upon us. You would help us. And Lord, I know that many of us right now, I pray against guilt. I pray that you, Lord, would just give peace and hope. And if you this morning, if you know that you've not shown up like God wants, I have a prayer, and you're free to pray this with me, and it's on the board here. It starts out, and it just says this. It says, God, forgive me. And here's the truth. We're all in need of God's forgiveness. God, forgive me. God, forgive me. And then it says, forgive me for allowing things to get in the way. Forgive me for not being present with you and others. I ask that you right now will help me, that you would empower me and give me the strength and the desire to change. Come into my life and help me to pick up and follow you. Where you lead me, I will show up and follow. In Jesus' name.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.